Merry Christmas, everyone. It is so good for us to be together. One thing that indicates what a very special time this is our sanctuary. So I want to draw your attention to our sanctuary, which throughout the year, when I look at our sanctuary, when it's not adorned like it is right now, what comes to me are the words, noble simplicity. This sanctuary was renovated around 20 years ago, and it has now marble. It's elevated. It's higher than it was before. And that's what struck me from when I first came to St. Philip 15 years ago. Looking at the sanctuary, the words that come to mind, noble simplicity. The nobility with the marble and the elevation and the simplicity. This is a simple space, but it's just right for the space we have. When it comes to big feasts, great solemnities like we're celebrating right now, the birth of Jesus, we see this noble simplicity adorned with radiance, most especially these Christmas flowers, the poinsettias. And so it is a reminder to us that we are involved in something noble, something simple, but also truly, truly wonderful. This is the birthday of Jesus. I also want to draw your attention to the creche, which is behind me. Do take some time today, then throughout this Christmas season, to stop before the creche. It turns out that in just a few moments, after we do the prayers of the faithful, Deacon Kong and I will bless that creche. And as we bless it, it will become a blessed place, a blessed object, which means in addition to you being drawn by the beauty of the objects, the beauty of the arrangement, the fact that it's blessed, every time you go near to that creche and pray there, you'll be brought closer to God. That is what blessed things do for us. They bring us closer to God. By the way, I want to give credit to the one who assembled that creche, and that is Deacon Kong. And I am so grateful for that. I'd like you to join with me in showing our gratitude to him in putting the creche together to Deacon Kong. Deacon Kong also put together the creche that's in our vestibule so that as you enter, the first thing we see is the Christmas scene. As we're here in prayer, we have a chance to stop by and pray. And so thank you, Deacon Kong. And he and I are looking forward to doing a blessing of this creche further on in the Mass. We are celebrating Jesus' birthday. We know that Jesus is so very important. I actually use the gospel from last night's vigil Mass, and we're allowed to do that. The church allows us priests for Christmas. There's actually four different Masses we can celebrate. And so we're doing the Mass of the day, but we can change the readings if we like. And so I wanted to go back to the reading that I used last night, because in that reading, there's two names used for Jesus that as we consider them, as we focus on them, we realize why this feast of the birthday of Jesus is so very important. And the two names that are given for Jesus are, first of all, Jesus, and secondly, Emmanuel. Now, a few words about having more than one name. I imagine most every one of us here probably has more than one name. We have our name, our baptized name. We have nicknames. We have professional names. We have maybe a name in a certain group of people. And I'd like to share with you some of the names that I've had over my lifetime. When I was a child, of course, in school and places like that, I was called Dennis. But then as I got involved with sports with my older brother was called Donahue, our last name. And to distinguish me from my older brother, I was D. Donahue. But over time, I became just D. And so for a long time, my nickname has been D. So when I became a priest, Father D. That's to my family, actually. But as a priest, like here, I usually go by Father Donahue in English. But in the Hispanic community, because the name Donahue is kind of difficult to say in Spanish or to pronounce, I just go by Father or Padre Denis, Padre Denis. And so Father Donahue in English and Padre Denis. And so I have these two different names, but the same person. Here's a funny story about my dad in the Spanish language. My dad speaks about three or four words of Spanish, so he's not real fluent in Spanish. But for some reason, many years ago, about 25 years ago, I told him that in the Hispanic community, of course, the priests are called Padre, so Padre Denis. But I said, in the community, if the priest is greatly beloved really dear to the people, they would call him Padrecito. I told my dad this, and so when Dad heard that, ever since then, he calls me Padrecito. Isn't that cute? He doesn't speak any Spanish, and yet he calls me Padrecito. Any case, so we're aware of people having more than one name. We all do, nicknames and pet names, professional names, my different names. Is that now we look at Jesus, and Jesus has actually many names and many titles. And today we're given Jesus, and we're given Emmanuel. Our gospel passage is so helpful because not only are these names mentioned, but also the meaning behind the names are given as well. And so toward the end of the passage, when the name Emmanuel is mentioned, it's mentioned in the context of a quote from the prophet Isaiah. And it mentions that this one, the Savior, this Jesus, will be called Emmanuel. And then outside of that quote, St. Matthew, who's the writer of this gospel, explains Emmanuel means God is with us. God is with us. As we hear those words, God is with us, the meaning of the name Emmanuel, I want this reality to sink into all of us. God is with us. How often in our lives have we asked the question, where is God? Where is God in this? Where is God in my life? What is going on here? The reason for that question is because of a sense of abandonment, a sense of being up against difficult circumstances and being alone. And think of us in those situations when someone who loves us, someone who cares for us, comes and visits us and comforts us, who comes to be with us. God is with us. This name reminds us that 2,000 years ago, God so loved the world that he sent his only Son into the world. Jesus came to visit us. So our world is not unimportant. Our circumstances need his attention, need his presence. So Jesus came. He came to this earth in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and 9 months later was born at Bethlehem. And then Jesus arranged to stay with us. He wasn't here just for that short amount of time, that any human life is a short amount of time. But he, in a mysterious but true way, arranged to stay with us in his church, in the sacraments. And so it wasn't just a visit to the human race that we can remember and honor and be glad for that, which we should be glad for that he came to this earth, but he has stayed in this earth. He is still with us. He's in his church. He is with us in the sacraments. The same Jesus born at Bethlehem is the same one we receive in the sacraments. And so then, in baptism is where it begins for each one of us. When we're baptized, at that moment, Jesus begins to live in our hearts. Jesus is in our hearts. That means we are not alone. So as a baptized person, if we feel like we've been abandoned, we feel like we're lost, we feel like there's no one there to help us, that is not true. He is with us. God is with us, Emmanuel, in baptism. Now, it is true that we can lose him if we commit mortal sin. He cannot stay in the midst of such a serious sin. But if we go to confession, he is restored. The sin is taken away. He then can come back to us, and he is with us. We're not alone. So in baptism, what happened at Bethlehem, what's spoken of in today's gospel, happens for us in baptism. I want to talk about another sacrament, and that's Holy Communion. Right now, Jesus, the body of Christ, is in our tabernacle. He is with us. God is with us. That is why we find comfort and peace and strength when we come into this church, just to sit down in the church and be in his presence. This is why Holy Communion is so very important, because Jesus Christ himself, the host, is Jesus. How that is mysterious, but true. Jesus comes to us. God is with us. As we focus on this reality, this truth, this great, great blessing for every one of us, I want to touch on a housekeeping note right now, and that is something we'll do during this Mass, just to recognize that God is with us. And in one of the prayers that we say that acknowledges that, we will actually kneel down, and the prayer we'll be saying will be the Creed, which we'll say in just a few moments after this homily. When we come to these words, "And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man." Usually when we say those words every Sunday at Mass during the Creed, we bow down, we bow at our waists slightly. Today, because we're acknowledging, professing our faith in Jesus with us, his birth at Bethlehem, that we'll kneel down. And so that moment, you want to make sure your kneelers are down and kneel down as we say those words. Now, for some of us, like myself, that's impossible to kneel down. So if you can't kneel down, you can just bow or do whatever you can. But for most, it'll be possible to kneel. And as we're kneeling, we'll be saying these words, "And by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man." We're honoring that moment when Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us, came to be with us, to strengthen us and comfort us. So that then is one name for our Lord Jesus, Emmanuel. The other name is Jesus, the name we most commonly use for the Lord. And we hear this name mentioned when the angel is speaking to St. Joseph during the dream. So we have this passage. Joseph is not sure what's going on with Mary. He sees she's pregnant. He's not sure how this came about. He decides he's going to separate from her. So he falls asleep. And in this dream, the angel reveals to him the nature of who Jesus is, conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Messiah. And he tells him, this is the angel speaking to St. Joseph about Mary, "She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus." And then the angel goes on to say, "Because he will save his people from their sins." The name Jesus actually has a meaning. It's not just a name, but the word Jesus means God saves. Jesus, God saves. And the angel explains, because he will save his people from their sins. This gives us a moment now to think about our sins. How we regret our sins. How stupid we sometimes feel with having sinned, or how very terrible, simply terrible, perhaps we wish we didn't exist anymore as we contemplate things we've done, our sins. Jesus will save us. This one will save us from our sins. And so then, how wonderful he is that he does this for us and takes away our sins personally at baptism. So the original sin is on the soul, sadly, of every one of us in our conception. If when we're baptized we're older, then our personal sins are taken away as well. And then if we commit sin after baptism, which sadly we do, then those sins are taken away in confession. Jesus, he will save us from our sins. Another housekeeping note, just a comment about being at Mass right now. I am so happy that we're all together. I'm so happy to share these names of Jesus because these names mean so much. And as we hear these names, we realize how important it is for us to celebrate together this Christmas, to be in a church. If we're not a regular Mass goer and we've not been to confession lately, then we want to be careful not to receive Holy Communion until we've been to confession, which means for some, Holy Communion may not be possible at this Mass, but I have a feeling through this homily, through this celebration, through these names of Jesus, Emmanuel and Jesus, we'll realize we need to go to confession, and this Mass will be an incentive to do that so we can, in the future, receive Holy Communion. For others, the situation may be more complicated. A person may not be Catholic, or maybe in a situation where it's going to be difficult, but please talk with a priest, talk with one of us, We will walk with you. We'll find a way eventually, maybe not right away, but eventually for this to happen. So we want to be careful at Holy Communion today. If we're not ready, we don't want to come forward. But as we stay, as you stay in your seats, some, while you're there, just realize he will come to you. You just have to take the proper steps, especially having him take away your sins first. We today are celebrating his birth, and the birth of everyone is something of significance. But these two names are such a blessing for us that I want to just have us enter into these names and savor them, love them, embrace them, and celebrate them. The gospel passage lets us know that he is Jesus, which means God saves. He will save his people from their sins. This is extraordinary. This is the most wonderful gift. He will save us from our sins. And then, Emmanuel. God is with us. We are not alone. Whatever we endure, whatever comes our way, we are not alone. And these two names remind us why Christmas is so important and why we celebrate today.